You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, what a great crowd. I knew this was going to be a good liturgy when we came around the corner in the entrance procession and there was someone coming into the church in a great big wedding cake hat. It seemed perfect. Because, you know, if you are going to grab on to the hem of the garment of justice, look out. You may get what you are praying for. Thanks be to God. Amen, yeah. What a week. What a week. Healthcare. Marriage. Gospel power in Charleston. A president, Reverend President, who sings Amazing Grace. Why did he wait 6 years to sing? That's what I want to know. And yesterday, the election of the first African American bishop in the Episcopal Church. I've heard Bishop Curry preach. Look out. You may be grabbing the hem of God's justice there. I think God may need a second day of Sabbath this week. I'm exhausted just reading Facebook. It took me forever to actually sit down and write this sermon because there was something about the flow of the comments that came second after second, minute after minute. And after picture after picture turning into a rainbow, I felt healing power go out from this community. I had to be at church this morning, so I missed the parade. But I wish I could have been there just to touch the energy and the power of this gathered community. I've been thinking about all of the pride weekends that I've been to. One of my very first Pride weekends was the 25th anniversary of Stonewall. I went with some friends from Columbus, Ohio to New York City. My first time there, and Lord have mercy. I had never seen so many gay people. Men holding hands with men everywhere. Women walking with their hands in the back pocket of their girlfriends. And it was one of those beautiful days that was just hot enough for the right people to take their shirts off. Some of the garments in that parade were so small that touching the hem might get you arrested. But to be in that crowd, to reach out and touch its energy and its power, I felt some of the bleeding stop. And a share of new life flowing back into my body. Now, I'm not going to tell you all the stories from that weekend. I was much younger then. And suffice to say, Saturday night was a late night. And I do remember my friend Rich shaking me awake on Sunday morning to say, "Girlfriend, get up. It's time for the parade." So we joined the throng in Central Park. The mayor spoke, remembering with pride the movement's beginning at Stonewall Bar on June 28th. And then the Queen of Stonewall came to the mic. She was in purple sequins, brilliant blonde hair, pink lips that were bigger than I had ever seen, and an attitude to match that outfit. She very politely thanked the mayor, and then she launched into a critique of the movement, that it had become too mainstream, too focused on corporate sponsorship, too eager to believe that equal rights under the law would actually mean genuine equality for every person in the society. Mark doesn't mention the color of the women's hair in this gospel text that we heard, and likely it wasn't blonde, but in my mind's eye, she was more like the Queen of Stonewall than maybe we have ever assumed. Certainly she's the opposite of Jairus. The crowd parts for him. He has honor and privilege. He has respect. He can claim the floor whenever he has something to say. He's the kind of guy that gets to sit on the stage with the politicians because he looks good in the shot. Wealth, access, and confidence that Jesus will help him. Even his own bow in the story demonstrates his own capacity to give power away when he wants to, and to use his status to advocate for his daughter. And Jesus is moved by his plea, moved by his strategy, and agrees to go with him to his house. But it's the woman's touch that stops him in his tracks. This powerful and courageous touch of a woman with a 12-year-long flow of blood. He knows in an instant that they have just exchanged life. But she comes up from behind, probably knowing that someone like her ought not be too direct, but find another path to seek healing. Directness doesn't work when you are assumed to be on the edges without any moral or religious authority. She was likely positioned as shameful, unclean by the clergy. She knows that she has to grab power because power is never given away freely by those who have it. She knows that sometimes you have to climb up the flagpole and tear down the Confederate flag before the legislature votes to take it down. She takes what is rightfully hers, and Jesus feels it deep in his being. And he's moved by her unwillingness to accept the word of the doctors or the religious people. And I suspect he felt his own power connect to her tenacious determination to survive and to be healed. Because in so many ways, her touch is a no to the future that she had been taught to accept. Her touch is a no to a world that makes the poorest of the poor give away everything for virtually nothing. Her touch is a no to any religion that provides access to some and limits others. touch is a no to the endless flow of blood that a world of violence and sexism and racism and heterosexism create. Her touch participates in a revolution that spreads healing and community. She enacts and embodies a world that has yet to be fully realized, but is profoundly and fully present in that moment between her and Jesus. She's the model of faith in action, resistant, subversive, willing to sneak toward the center, having gotten to know God at the margins. Most of us, no doubt, know something about maneuvering through the crowd to gain some access, slipping through unnoticed openings to grab hold of justice. We have done what we needed to do to survive and to be healed and to love. Sometimes it was grand and it was the right thing. And sometimes we had to sell our souls in order to be safe and to live to tomorrow. There are many scars that were in that parade this morning, and probably many wounds that still bleed. Last fall, I married a couple that had been together for 43 years. They were so cute. But it was the first time in their lives that their family and friends heard the truth of their love from their own lips. After the wedding, one said, "I feel better about myself today than I have ever felt in my whole life." For 43 years, he carried shame flowing from him and within him, not for being gay, but for not being able to speak of it or to live it fully out loud so that everyone could see. His husband died last month. They didn't quite make it to their first anniversary. And he didn't get to see God in action on our Good Friday. Maybe with the court's ruling, some of the bleeding will stop. Actually, it's going to be another year of weddings. We had ours in Minnesota, but now Georgia, North Dakota, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi. The only people resting this year are going to be those pizza people in Indiana that won't cater gay weddings. Here's what I want to know. Why did they think we would order pizza for our wedding? If their learning curve is bigger than they know. As we surge to the courthouse and to many great churches who have been with us, I do have this strange feeling, however, that the Queen of Stonewall is in the crowd. I feel her grabbing the hem of our rainbow garments, urging us not to become too mainstream, to be attending to those still left behind, still yearning to live with full human dignity. There are still those who are forced to hand over all of their resources to doctors because insurance will not pay for gender reassignment surgery. There are still those bleeding in Uganda and Saudi Arabia. There are those reaching across our borders because home countries still torture and brutalize gay people. And there are those who bleed in lonely isolation because the wounds of the past visited upon them are so deep. And now the addiction is so intractable and the depression so overwhelming that a stable marriage is simply inconceivable. And we cannot forget that on the day that love won in Washington, we watched Reverend Pinckney being laid to rest in Charleston. Marriage equality may now be part of the landscape in all 50 states, but so is racism. We can never forget that our work for equality and justice is linked together. The anniversary of Stonewall and the anniversary of the shootings in Charleston will be forever linked. Can the parade and the funeral procession meet together and be changed by one another? Two strategies for justice at work, holding hands, those with privilege and those without, working together. Because we are not healed while some of us are still bleeding and dying. If we are to be in Jesus Christ, that is our whole truth. Did you notice that little phrase in the text? The woman tells Jesus the whole truth. Wouldn't you love to have heard that conversation? 12 years of truth flowing out of her. Her pride, her shame, the times when she was strong and the moments when she collapsed under the weight of all the obstacles that were before her. Her acts of power, her trembling moments that lacked honesty and integrity. She gives him everything. She gives to Jesus her whole truth. Nothing held back. And he calls her daughter. They become family. She swept into the reign of God just as he was. Both of them children of God, living in faith that the power of healing, the power of resurrection, the power of love always has the last word. And now at this end of our Pride weekend, they together give us their story. Their blood now flowing with healing in our stories. In our tentative and subversive reaching for the reign of God. In our wine, in our bread, giving our whole truth. She and Jesus have gone on into the future, yet are grabbing for us, shaking us, whispering with love more powerful than hate, Talitha kum, which in Aramaic means, girlfriend, get up. It is time for a parade. Amen.